Greg Carpenter joins us now. Good afternoon, Greg.
Sean, how are we today?
Good. Must be satisfying when you finally get these all together and get them released and out they go. Caulfield and Melbourne Cup and got them done in the one day.
Well, the greatest satisfaction comes after both races have been run, to tell you the truth. It's a great day when we release the weights for the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup. You're right. There's a lot of effort and thinking goes into both of them. But the work continues on really until both races have been run. But the two great iconic Group 1 handicaps over 2,400 metres and 3,200 metres in the world. And today, for the first time since 2010, we released the weights for both races again on the same day.
Greg, just out of interest, before we go into them, how big a part does history play in this? Do you look back over history?
Well, certainly you look for precedent and what horses have been able to achieve in the past. And certainly prior to the weights being released today, we made an important statement about the potential penalty for the Caulfield Cup winner into the Melbourne Cup. So that was definitely based on historic research over the last 40 years and the record of horses with 56.5 kilos and more. And when you're looking at other historical pointers, for instance, a horse like Bonneval, the Sydney Oaks winner, the New Zealand Oaks winner, she was so impressive on debut in Melbourne, but I've given her 52.5. And when you can point to the fact that that's the weight that Jamaica won with last year in the Caulfield Cup, and Light Fingers won the Melbourne Cup with 52.5 in 1965, at least it gives the connections of some of the horses a little hope that they don't have to absolutely create a new piece of history.
Looking at the Caulfield Cup, first of all, Hartnell's favourite, 650, is it top weight?
Well, he was easy to assign him as a top weight. He's the second highest rated horse in the Southern Hemisphere behind Winx. He's a previous Group 1 winner at 2,400 metres. He won the BMW in Sydney in 2015. They chose not to run at Caulfield last year. They decided to take on Winx in the Cox Plate, chased her home, and then moved on to the Melbourne Cup, where he ran really well to finish third. But there is no doubt he is the best performed horse in the Caulfield Cup, and I've allocated him top weight with 58. I think it's the perfect race for him, and I hope James Cummings and the Godolphin team can see that he can be competitive with that weight and decide to run at Caulfield in the BMW Caulfield Cup.
Now, is he in the Melbourne Cup as well, and if so, what weight?
He is. I've given him a slight discount in the Melbourne Cup. He's got 57.5. If you go through his form here in Australia over 3,200 metres, after he won the BMW, he was an overwhelming favourite in the Sydney Cup with 52 and ran fourth. 2016, he ran in the Melbourne Cup and ran 15th. And then last year, with 56 kilos, he ran third, beaten 4.25 behind Al Mandon. So I've given him 57.5 in the Melbourne Cup. And again, that reflects just ever so slightly for me that the horse is more likely to be effective at the 24 than the 32. In fact, we released the weights of both races today, but different top weights. Hartnell in the Caulfield Cup and Order of St. George in the Melbourne Cup.
Now, Bonneval, you mentioned the weight for the Caulfield Cup. Is she nom for the Melbourne Cup as well?
She is. She's got 52.5 in both. And as I said, it's been done before with Jamaica in the Caulfield Cup. Light Fingers in the Melbourne Cup. But I think they were so encouraged with her win in the Dato Tan Chin Nam, the Fian Stakes at the Valley on Saturday, that they have also kept alive their Cox Plate acceptance. We closed first acceptances for the Cox Plate at 12 noon today, so we're just finalising them.
Right.
And Bonneval is in that. But of course, you know, Northerly won a Caulfield Cup and then a week later won a Cox Plate. You go back to Rising Fast, he did them all, the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup. So I think ideally suited in a Caulfield Cup, but nevertheless keeping options open with the Cox Plate for Murray Baker and Andrew Forsman.
A couple of others here in the market, Humidor, Admire Days. Egg Tart would have been an interesting one to handicap, I suppose.
Well, let's talk about Egg Tart first. A dual Group 1 winner in a three-year-old season. She won the Australasian Oaks and then she won the Melbourne Cup. She won the Queensland Oaks. Mm. The importance there for the Melbourne Cup, what I was about to say, is that even though this year the Queensland Oaks was reduced in distance to 2,200 metres, The VRC have made a special provision that the Queensland Oaks winner, Egg Tart, the Queensland Derby winner, Ruffin, but he wasn't entered, he's been sold to Hong Kong, and also the Brisbane Cup winner, Chicanti, even though those races were reduced in distance, they are still past the ballot. Mm-hmm. So Egg Tart, 51.5, ran really well at Rosehill on Saturday first up. She's guaranteed a run in both races. All she has to do is hopefully if Chris Waller and his team can get her fit, happy and healthy and in good form, she'll take her place in the Caulfield Cup with just 51.5.
Humidor and Admire Dais, they're both in the market at the moment as well. What did you give them?
They've got 56 in both races. Let's talk about Admire Deuce first. He's a Japanese horse, but he's been handed to Darren Weir. Darren has his staff over on Hokkaido Island, where he's doing his quarantine. Pictures of Craig Williams up there over the last few days, sitting on the back of Admire Deuce and getting himself acquainted with that horse. He's got 56. It was a difficult horse to handicap. He's got very good form in the standout Japanese 3,200 metre race, the Tenno Show. He ran fourth in that this year, beating a length and three quarters. But he's a slightly older horse, and he hasn't won for 2 years. So he's got 56, the same weight that Delta Blues, the other Japanese Melbourne Cup winner, or the Japanese Melbourne Cup winner, got. So he's got 56. And Humidor burst onto the scene. He beat Jamaica and Exospheric, who ran third in last year's Caulfield Cup with 55 in the Australian Cup. And then up in Sydney on a heavy track, ran second behind Jamaica in the BMW. So Humidor's got 56. And again, with both of those horses and Al Mandan and Hartnell, if they run at Caulfield and they win the Caulfield Cup, they will have the same, or they won't get a penalty going forward to the Melbourne Cup.
Now, speaking of the Cup, Al Mandan, last year's winner at this stage, is equal favourite with Hartnell. And what weight did he cop?
He's got 56.5. If you go through the winners over the last 10 years, he and Prince of Penzance have been given 56.5, and that's the lightest weight of all those other winners. Prince of Penzance won it in 2015, and last year got 56.5. Al Mandan won the race last year with 52. Weights were raised, and he got a penalty, but he progresses from the weight he carried in the race to the 56.5, 4.5 kilos. If you look at Hartnell, who ran third in the race, Hartnell goes up 1.5 kilos, and Cuey, who ran fourth in the race, also goes up 1.5 kilos. So Al Mandan, 3 kilos worse off against Hartnell and Cuey. And even though it was a magnificent war down the straight at Flemington last year, and Al Mandan and Heartbreak City went to the line locked together, there was a significant margin back to Hartnell, 4.25 lengths. Al Mandan's run at 2,200 metres or further 3 times, and he's won them all. I'm not quite sure how good Al Mandan is, but he could be one of the best stays we've seen in Australia. And, of course, he runs at Flemington on Saturday in the JRA Trophy. So that'll be his second run since winning the Melbourne Cup. He's an older horse now. He's a 7-year-old European by European time, but he's only had 13 starts. 5 wins and 4 seconds, so he's an extraordinarily talented stayer.
Order of St. George would have been an interesting one. He's a very impressive horse.
Well, he's been nominated for the Emirates Melbourne Cup for the last 3 years. In 2015, he won the Irish St. Ledger by 11 lengths. He was a 3-year-old, so I gave him 54 kilos, which, compared to weight for age, was the equivalent of 58. In 2016, he won the Ascot Gold Cup and was beaten in the Irish St. Ledger. I gave him 58. And then this year, he ran second to Big Orange at Royal Ascot. And on Sunday, of course, won the Irish St. Ledger by 9 lengths. So he's got 58 again. Most racing fans would have looked at that Irish St. Ledger and think, wow, he's won by such a big margin. Mm. But in actual fact, the horse that ran second to Torsador ran fifth at Royal Ascot, and Order of St. George that day beat him by 9.25 lengths. And the horse that ran third, Mount Moriah, is rated 106. So Torsador 110 going in, Mount Moriah 106 with a 9-length margin. Order of St. George's run to about 120, which he was before the race, and what he was in 2016. So a lot of people would have thought maybe I was tempted to give him more weight, but his effort on Sunday simply reinforced where he has been for the last 2 years. And, of course, the only horse that's been able to win the Melbourne Cup with 58 or more in the last 40 years is the great Maccabi Diva. So it's a big challenge for Order of St. George. I'd love to see him travel to Australia. And I say that because the Melbourne Cup is the best Group 1 3,200-metre race in the world. And it's important that horses like Order of St. George, one of the better stayers in Europe, travel out and show their wares and also test the best of Australia and New Zealand against them, albeit he's got to give them weight.
Greg, are there any races overseas that are sort of, I suppose, flag races for you? Like, and I'm talking about the Irish Ledger, the Ebor, those sort of ones you look at and think if they go well on that, it's a pattern for you or not?
There is. If we talk about two races, the first one is the Ebor, which you mentioned. Mm. This year, the winner of that race was Nikita, trained in Scotland by Ian Jardine. He's the first entry from Scotland that we've received. But he won that race well. Last year's Ebor winner, Heartbreak City, ran second, as we've mentioned, narrowly to our Mandan and had 53. And then if you go back to 2007, Purple Moon, who won the Ebor, ran second to Efficient with 53. So it's not a lock-in that they would get 53. We've had other Ebor winners with a variation of that weight. But for me, you look at the Ebor, even though the Ebor handicap winner hasn't been able to do the double, we've got very close in Purple Moon and also more recently with Heartbreak City. And the other race that we talk about a lot is the French staying race, the Prix de Courgelay. Mm. It's a 3,000-metre race, and this year the winner of that is Marmello. And we've seen horses like Dunedin and Protection has come through that race in the past. Marmello is actually an English-trained stayer in the stable of Huey Morrison, but he's won two 3,000-metre group races in France this year, and he's got 55 in both races. And he goes into quarantine on Thursday, so he's definitely travelling, and he's in both the Caulfield and the Melbourne Cups.
There's a few other interesting runners from overseas. Red Cardinal, Tiberian, who ran in France the other day, the Galbert, Aloft. It's just amazing, the influence now from overseas, isn't it, the noms?
It is. The Melbourne Cup is, since Vintage Crop and Drum Taps came out, as the first two international horses in 1993. The race has changed for ever, and it's changed for the better. This European and also Japanese horses really give another dimension to the race. So Albert, Japanese-trained horse, he's won over 3,600 metres twice at Group 2 level. I mentioned Admired Use before, running fourth in the Tenno Show. Well, Albert ran fifth, and in the same race the year before, he ran sixth. So he's a really good horse. Tiberian, the French horse, he's had four starts this year and won five of them. Won the Grand Prix de Ville over 2,500 metres this last start. So he's definitely travelling, but he's in the Melbourne Cup only. And Albert also in the Melbourne Cup only. And the other element we still need not to lose sight of is the New Zealand horses. We've seen Murray Baker win the Caulfield Cup just a couple of years ago with Mongolian Khan. And this year he has two outstanding New Zealand four-year-olds in Bonval, who we've talked about, and John Snow, who won the Sydney Derby, and he runs in the Maccabi Diva on Sunday. He's got 54.5. And the other New Zealand four-year-old is Ginger Nuts. Won the New Zealand Derby. He won the Rosehill Guineas. Went into the Sydney Derby as an overwhelming favourite, but didn't quite run his race in that. He's got 55, and that's the same weight that Mongolian Khan was able to win the Caulfield Cup. So let's not forget about the New Zealand element in the race as well.
Now, just finally, Greg, there's always, I suppose, a few horses come through and you look and think to yourself, you're going to be tough to handicap because you can't handicap on potential, can you? You've got to handicap on form, really, and what they've done. Who was the trickiest to put a weight on this year?
Well, if you looking for the most challenging, I think we've talked about Admired Deuce. He was probably one of the more difficult ones. A horse like Max Dynamite, who ran second in the Melbourne Cup 2 years ago with 55, we haven't seen a lot of him. He won a what's called a bumpers race for amateur jockeys at his last start at Killarney. So he's only had four runs since the 2015 Melbourne Cup. So he was difficult. He's got 54. And if you're talking about an emerging horse, there's a few. Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Botts, winner on Saturday at Moonee Valley Stampede, was very impressive. And the other horse who's won his last three here in Melbourne is Pakadali. Mm. I've given him 51, but he's not passed the ballot for either the Caulfield Cup or the Melbourne Cup.
With Greg Carpenter, just released the weights for the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups. You're talking about Pakadali. He's put three together, Greg, hasn't he?
He has, and he's got 51, not passed the ballot neither the Caulfield or Melbourne Cup. So Darren Weir's got an early decision to make. He's got him entered for the Group 3 Newcastle Cup on Friday. So that would get him past the ballot of the Caulfield Cup if he runs in the first three, but because of the distance, not past the Melbourne Cup. Or he's entered for Flemington on Saturday, which is the JRA Trophy. Now, that's a listed race over 2,500 metres. So if he wins that, he is past the ballot for both the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup. He may well choose to go to Newcastle. Mm. As I said, if he runs in the first three there, that'll get him into the Caulfield Cup, and the Melbourne Cup can possibly take care of itself later on. So for all the listeners, just keep an eye out later in the week, either on Friday at Newcastle or Saturday at Flemington, where Pakadali runs this week.
Greg, isn't it fascinating how some patterns that we accepted as being that's the way it's got to be done have changed? Or they must run in the first four in the Caulfield Cup to be a chance of to winning the Melbourne Cup. They'd start in the Ori Star and work their way on. Some of those old traditional patterns have just been thrown straight out the door, haven't they?
They have, and again, talking about the link between the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup, the last 10 winners of the Melbourne Cup, only one has actually run in the Caulfield Cup, and that was viewed in 2008. Now, the decade before that, seven Melbourne Cup winners went around in the Caulfield Cup. So that's changing. The other thing that's changed, of course, is a preparation for a horse like Al Mandon. What we've done in Melbourne this year, we've introduced three quality staying races, and the quality meaning that the top weight can't get more than 61. So what that does is allow a horse who's at his best over distances further than 2,000 to actually have a preparation into the Melbourne Cup or the Caulfield Cup, where in previous years, many years ago, they would have run in the Memsey at 1,400 or in Sydney at the Warwick Stakes, and every 2 weeks up 200 metres of distance. So the training methods, the way that race horses are prepped for the Melbourne Cup has changed. And again, just going back to our Mandon, evidence of that was that he won the Bart Cummings on Turnbull Stakes Day, and we didn't see him again until the Melbourne Cup itself. So the world's changing, but the two great races continue to be so. And we've got some outstanding entries, and I think we'll get fantastic fields for both of them this spring.
Greg, been fascinating having a chat with you. I do a thing called a chin wag on a Thursday at 10:30. I'd love to have you on one day for a chin wag.
We've just had one then.
Yeah, I know we have. We can do another one. Yeah, that'd be fantastic, because, I mean, a lot of people, the theory, the science, the whole lot behind handicapping and how to put them together is absolutely fascinating. And these days, of course, the other issue you've got is a lot of these horses aren't having as many runs as what we used to, particularly when you look at the Japanese. They bring them out here, they're almost first up going into a Caulfield Cup, weren't they?
Well, absolutely. We talked about Admire Deuce and Albert. Neither of them have run in the last 4 or 5 months. So they're perfect examples of them. The way that they're trained and prepared internationally. And, of course, in Japan, they have the benefit of the uphill training track. So they're very fit. We know the Japanese staying races are run at a brutal tempo. So it's not a lay down as there for Japanese runners. You know, as I said, Curran Marotic came last year as an older horse. He'd run second in the Tenno show, but hadn't won for a while. So they're still having to get the challenge done, but, you know, everyone's just got so much respect for the Japanese horses. Now, there was just one other horse I'd love to mention on the way through, and that's Who Shot the Barman. He's run in the last three Melbourne Cups. He ran third in 2014. He was 11th in 2015. And just watching the replay of last year's race again, he absolutely stormed home into fifth place with 56 kilos. Now, He's a nine-year-old. No nine-year-old has ever won the race before, so he'll be the oldest nine-year-old to win it. But he comes down 2 kilos in weight. He's had 8 starts at 3,200 metres, a number of them in the Melbourne and Sydney Cups, and he's finished top 5 on 6 occasions. So, you know, he's just such a genuine and favourite horse. I'm sure if he is able to take his place in the Melbourne Cup, and he's only entered for the Melbourne Cup, there'll be a lot of people around Australia who have something small on Who Shot the Barman, just hoping that he can defy that age history barrier and run as well as he has previously in Melbourne Cups.
Tell you what, Chris Waller's blood pressure's just gone through the roof. He's thought to himself, "Stress, I'll get a third Cox plate in the Melbourne Cup in the 1 year. This is good."
Well, the puzzle's there. It's all laid out.
He's just got to do it now.
Correct. And that's not only for trainers. It's jockeys trying to work out which horses they're going to ride. And, of course, punters. There's a lot of interest with the pre-post. And now that the weights have come out, people will start locking in those future bets.
Too right. Greg, been fantastic to catch up. Really appreciate your time. And we will do a chin wag one day shortly.
Pleasure, Sean. I hope everyone enjoys the next 6 to 8 weeks of spring racing, both in Sydney and here in Melbourne. We've got some great racing ahead of us.
Terrific. Thanks, Greg. Greg Carpenter, their handicapper. And today, weights have come out for the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups. And that's something we can all sit down now and study and try and get a long shot, double organised or whatever.